be in the Lord's house today, and appreciate revival. Been looking forward to revival, and I'm glad revival's the will of God. I believe that with all of my heart. We didn't have to pray this morning if it was the will of God for God to revive the church. I believe it is. I believe it's His Word, and I believe He has something for us. And we appreciate Brother Webb and the church here so much. And we're just glad to be here with you and just looking forward to great things from God. I believe if we'll have an expectation, God will meet us there, don't you? I believe God will meet us at our level of expectation. And I want to expect Him to do great and mighty things. And I'm not going to ramble on here. I'm going to try to preach. Matthew chapter number 11 is where I want to read from. Matthew chapter number 11. Very familiar story, and just felt like this is what the Lord would have me to preach this morning. And so you ask the Lord to give me an anointing to preach and give us a great anointed altar service. I'd like to see a good altar service this morning, wouldn't you? Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter number 11, and verse number 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. But I want to look back there at that third verse. These two disciples of John the Baptist that no doubt have been with him through it all. These two disciples of John that he is sending to Jesus, and no doubt these men have been there when John was on the mountaintop of his ministry. Now they're with him as he's there behind the prison bars in isolation, wondering what the outcome's going to be. He sends these two men to find Jesus, and he comes. They come with a question for the Master. The question was, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, I was reading M.S. Rice last night, and he made mention of this story of John the Baptist. Brother Randy, he said something about he thought this was a great act of faith by John. When he said, Are you the one that should come, or should we just keep looking? But when I really look at that, I wonder if that really was a great act of faith, or if there really was a moment of crisis. For John had said that he was the one. John had proclaimed that he was the one. But I believe now that John is beginning to wonder if he's really the one, if he's really going to do what he said he would do. Is his power still relevant to where John is? And he begins to wonder. And so he sends these two disciples to find the Master as Jesus is there preaching and teaching and commanding his disciples. These two disciples of John are waiting for that blessed opportunity to come to the Lord and ask him a question that's come from this man that is no stranger to the Lord. For my friend John the Baptist was handpicked by God to be the representative of heaven to proclaim to this world that there's coming a Messiah, that there's coming a Savior, and His name is going to be Jesus. My friend, it was the job description of John had to believe in Jesus. John did. If anybody had to believe in the power of the Lord, John did. For John, in his very birth, was the miracle of God's own hand. John, even being there, was the miracle of God. God had to go to work, or there would be no John the Baptist. And that angel of the Lord came to his parents and said that you're going to have a son, and his name is going to be John. My friend, God called John for that time and for that purpose. And my friend, John was in the wilderness. John was in the backside of the desert. But God brought him out of that desert with a message. And he was the messenger to tell the world that there is coming a Messiah that's going to save us from our sin and lead us back to God and reconcile us to the place where we can know the Lord again. My friend John had to have a conviction about Jesus, or he never could have preached that he was coming to die on the cross and save us from our sin. John was there. John was doing what God had called John to do. He was there that day at the banks of the River Jordan, preaching and baptizing, preaching his message, doing what God had called him to do. We know that as John was baptizing on that day, when he caught a glimpse of Jesus, and I don't know if John had ever seen Jesus before. If you'll read John the first chapter, I don't believe that he really had. But when he saw him, he knew who he was. And my friend, we may not have seen him, but when I believe when we do see him, we'll know who he is. And when John saw him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." My friend, what a message, what a proclamation. What a testimony and what a conviction. This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And my friend Jesus came to where he was, stepped down in the muddy waters of the Jordan River, and John, Jesus said unto John that he was come to be baptized. And John said, "I need to be baptized of you." But Jesus said, "Let it be so." And John held Jesus that day in the waters of the Jordan, and he baptized the Son of God. He held in his arms heaven's riches, heaven's glory, the crown jewel, the Son of God. My friend, he held to his bosom the crown jewel of heaven, the salvation of the world, God clothed in flesh, and he said, "This is the one." My friend, God must have stood up off his throne and thundered to this world below. And he spoke in a voice that all could hear, "Behold, this is my beloved Son." The Holy Ghost came down like a dove and lighted upon the Lord that day. I believe John believed right there with all of his heart that Jesus was the one. But now he's not holding Jesus close to where he is. Now John is not hearing a voice out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son." Now John doesn't hear the flutter of the dove's wings as the sun of the glory of God shines down like it did on the banks of the Jordan River. But now John's in the dark, and now John's in the prison, and now John seems like he's been shut out and he's been cut off. And he wonders, is he still the one? Is he one that's going to work? Is he one that's going to move? Is God going to do everything that he said he would do? And at one time it looked like in the life of John, there was a great exclamation mark in his faith.
But now, because of circumstances and fear, that exclamation mark has been twisted into a question mark, and he begins to wonder, is he still going to work? And is he still going to move? And is he still the one that I saw on the banks of the river that day? And my friend, sometimes when we stand behind the prison bars of doubt and disappointment, sometimes when we're isolated and we cannot see the Lord, and there are heartaches and there are struggles and there are disappointments that we didn't have on the calendar, my friend, I don't believe ever John the Baptist thought that he would find himself where he was that day. And sometimes in life we find ourselves in places that we never thought we'd be, and we can't see the Lord, and we wonder, is God going to work it out? John stands in a prison of doubt and fear and wondering. Sometimes we stand behind prison bars. It may be sickness, prison bars of sickness, prison bars of oppression, prison bars of depression, prison bars of just simply wondering, I can't see the Lord. Is God working? And is God moving? And does God know where I'm at? My friends, this morning, John, he couldn't see the footprints of the sand. Brother Rice, that the master was leaving as he was touching blinded eyes. John couldn't see the outstretched hand that touched deaf ears and loosed bound tongues. John could not see Jesus standing on the pulpit that God, his Father, had built for him to preach to this world the salvation of their soul. And my friend, sometimes we feel like because we can't see it, that it must be not happening, because we cannot behold it with our eyes, that God must not be moving, and God must not be hearing, and God's hand must not be at work. But I feel like telling somebody on a Sunday morning of revival that just because you can't see him don't mean he's not there. It don't mean that God is not working. I don't know if this is a Sunday morning revival message or not. Sometimes it's nothing more than prison bars of human limitation. My eyes can only see so far. But my friend, none of our eyes in the natural can see beyond that veil that divides this world from that heavenly world. And my friend, sometimes we stand behind the prison bars and we wonder beyond the veil of darkness if there is a sovereign God that hears our prayers. If there is a God that is working just like he said he would work and just like he said he would move. My friend, I believe every one of us believe there's construction going on in heaven this morning. Do you believe when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you? I believe we all believe that God said he's going to prepare a place and he's doing just that. But has anybody here heard the ruffles of blueprints? Has anybody here heard the hammers in heaven as they work? We never have, but still we believe. My friend, you may be in a prison this morning, and Jesus is on the other side of the bars, and you wonder, God, are you working? God, are you out there somewhere working? I can't see you. I can't behold you, but are you out there working? My friend, sometimes doubt is made in a place where just because we cannot see him, my friend, we feel that the footprints of heaven are no longer being left in the situations of our life because we cannot behold it with our eye. But my friend, Jesus was on the other side of those bars, and he was doing the will of God, and he knew exactly where John was at, And I felt like telling somebody today, you may be there in a place and you cannot see God working on the situations of your life. But that does not mean that He is not there. For my friend, though you cannot see Him, He is always and will always be there. F.W. Bourne wrote a book called The Whisper of God. And in that message, Borum made a comment in a paragraph. Borum said that men make more noise getting the crops that are out of the ground than God does making those crops. He said, we make more noise getting them than God does making them. Now, my wife's from Ohio, like Brother and Sister Rice. And I was born in Texas, but my wife tells me you can hear corn grow. I don't know if you can or not. I've never heard corn grow. But Borum said we make more noise getting it than God did making it. He said we make more noise shoveling the snow that is on our path than God does, causing the sun to rise in the sky and melt a million tons of it. We make more noise just shoveling it than God does melting it. And Borum said, sometimes God is so wonderfully silent because God is so wonderfully active. Sometimes we feel like heaven is silent and we equate silence with inactivity. But my friend, just because heaven is silent, don't mean heaven's not working. Just because you come to the house of the Lord and prayed about situations and loved ones and financial difficulties and it looks like the world is falling apart at the seams and we wonder, God, as we look into the heavens and the heavens are like brass and we wonder if God is even working and if God even hears and if God even knows. But I believe in this revival, there's going to be a hand that is maybe not seen, but is a hand that is felt, because God, He may be invisible, but what He does is always visible in the lives of men. I was preaching for Brother Shoecraft, and Brother Shoecraft, brother, you know, he bought 80 acres across from his house there and the church at Fairland. Camp meeting was coming up last year. Brother Shoecraft got on his tractor, hooked up his brush hog, and wanted to cut that property down before camp meeting got there. So he started cutting on it a few days before the meeting. He started working on it, worked on it several days. The day he got done, he finished all up by the road. You could see the finished product. You could see all that he'd done. And his little one boy, he's about 11, John Mark, came home and was talking to his sister Sherry, Brother Lloyd's wife, and said, man, Mom, Dad sure has done a lot of mowing today. And Sister Sherry said, John Mark, your dad didn't do that all today. He's been doing that a lot of days. You just couldn't see him. And my friend, sometimes when we can't see God working on our behalf, we wonder if God's even working at all. But the day always comes when God answers prayer and God moves like He said He would. And we look and we say, God, it looks like You've done a lot today. But the Lord would have to say, I didn't do that all today. I've been doing that a lot of days. I was doing that on a Sunday morning of revival when you wondered if I was even there. I'd done that on a Wednesday night of prayer meeting when you bowed at an altar and you said, God, are You even hearing me right now? I was working when You were standing in the doctor's office and bad news came. I was there when You looked at your bills and You looked at the paycheck and You looked at the family and You looked at the situation and You said, God, do You even know where I'm at? but he was working because he's always working. And I may stand behind a prison bar and I can't see him, but out there somewhere there is a sovereign God that is working on your behalf. Hallelujah to God. I ordered something a while back from UPS. You ever ordered something from UPS? I ordered it. I was in at Brother Don Tabor's in Missouri. I ordered it from Arkansas. They ordered it from I don't know where. And they said, we're going to send it to you. And they gave me a tracking number because they said, anytime you want to know where this package is, we're going to give you this tracking number and you can locate it. Well, my package didn't get there on time. So I called them and I gave them the tracking number. And they said, well, we couldn't find the parsonage. We couldn't find the house where you wanted us to deliver it. And so they wanted directions, and I'm glad God's never had to ask directions to bring you a promise. But what really got me was I was in Missouri. I called Arkansas, they called somewhere else and ordered this, and then they sent it to me. But in the midst of all that, they said, all you got to do is call us, give us a tracking number, and we'll tell you exactly where your package is. Now, I know the infrastructure UPS in one day is quite a feat. I was preaching in Louisville for Brother Doug Webb. There's 240 planes that fly out of Louisville every day for UPS. Right now, they say there's 10 planes circling the United States, UPS. In case one of those 240 planes has mechanical trouble, they'll send one of those backup planes down, load the packages up, and send it to its destination. But in the midst of all of that, they said, all you got to do is call us, and we'll tell you where your package is. And John is standing behind these prison bars, and he's wondering where the promise is. Jesus said, go tell John again those things which you do hear and see. And I know the infrastructure in UPS is great, but I know the infrastructure of heaven is even greater. I know there's a God that sits high and he looks low, and the earth is his footstool. Down where I live on the coast, he tells those waters of the Gulf, you can only go so far. And it's not the almanac, Brother Randy, that tells us when low tide and high tide is down there. It's the King of Glory. And he knows when low tide's going to be, and he counts the stars one and all, and he calls them all by name. My friend, when a sparrow falls, he'll step down the starry staircase of heaven, and he'll read the obituary of one fallen sparrow. And my friend, he knows how many hairs are upon our head, and sometimes we stand in a prison, and we wonder if God even knows, and we wonder if God even cares. But he said, you go tell John, I've given him a tracking number. It's a promise of God. And all he has to do is come to me, and I'll give him reassurance that I'm going to do exactly what I said I'd do. And I feel I'm telling you today, there's a God that's going to do exactly what he said he would. Would you stand with me and lift your hands and praise the Lord right now? Would somebody come get me a song, please? Hallelujah to God. And Jesus said, blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Don't let your heart get offended because you can't see him now. Don't let your heart be overwhelmed because you stand behind a prison bar and you wonder if God's even out there, if he's the one I'm looking for. But he said, go tell John, blinded eyes are being opened and deaf ears are hearing. And the gospel is being preached and lepers are being cleansed.
John, I'm working. Though you cannot see it, there's a work being done. And I believe God's working in your families because you've asked Him to. I believe God's working in your church because you've asked Him to. I believe God's working on that prayer list like the one that Brother Randy holds right here because we've asked Him to. And though your eyes may be shackled with human limitation, faith says, though I cannot see Him, I believe Him. I read last night of a king, and I'm closing. I read last night of a king who was in the midst of a great battle, and it looked like he would be overwhelmed, and he looked outside the window. And he looked as the sun was setting, things that turned against him. And the writer said it was almost like those wrinkles and lines that life had left upon his countenance were ever so deeper as the setting sun was hitting his face. But that king turned from that setting sun and he said these words, "Night is not eternal, but the sun will rise again, and with it, it'll bring a glad new morning." And I feel like telling somebody right now, your night is not eternal, but the sun's going to rise again. And when the sun rises, he'll have in his hands a glad new morning.